Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Organizers and lawmakers gathered on the steps of the Alaska State Capitol yesterday morning to rally in support of bills and funding to address climate change in Alaska. At the gathering of about 25 people, Representative Donna Mears, an Anchorage Democrat, said climate disasters are expensive for the state.
The additional costs to government for responding to climate disasters like interior wildfires and the storms in western and northern Alaska. So we're getting budget pressures from that. But we can't just spend money on that. We need to work upstream.
Mears said she supports programs like the Renewable Energy Fund, which was established in 2008. The Alaska Energy Authority requested about $41 million from the legislature to pay for 29 renewable energy projects across the state next year. Felix Rivera works at the Alaska Center, an environmental advocacy nonprofit. He spoke in support of two bills that haven't yet made it out of committees. One would require oil producers to pay an additional tax of 20 cents per barrel to a climate change response fund that will be used to address climate impacts to the state. The other, which was introduced last spring, would establish a climate change emergency response commission to research climate impacts and facilitate grants.
These are two bills that we really need to make sure that we are responding adequately to these emergencies and then being proactive so that when these things do happen, our communities are more resilient.
Rivera also applauded a bill requested by Governor Mike Dunleavy to apply the state's corporate income tax to the oil and gas company Hillcorp. That bill passed the Alaska Senate on Wednesday. A highly unusual and four-legged suspect was apprehended yesterday in Juneau. Tim Travis works at NC Machinery near the airport. Late yesterday morning, while heading out for their lunch break, he and his coworkers discovered an opossum roaming about outside their shop.
I was inside the shop and one of my coworkers comes running in and goes, "Do you have the number for animal control? We have a possum." And I said, "No way. We don't have possums in Alaska." He's like, "Well, there's a possum outside."
And sure enough, he was right. Opossums are not native to Alaska and don't live in the state. But somehow, this one made its way all the way to Juneau. And they're considered an invasive species. Travis said that, upon detection, the possum attempted to evade the scene and scurried into a shed, where it hid under a blanket. He says he and some coworkers spent their lunch break working with Juneau Animal Control to wrangle him into a carrier. They delivered him to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game office in Douglas. His coworker promptly named him Chester.
We had only had Chester here for, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and he's like, "I'm going to name Chester." I'm like, "Okay." Chester it is.
Stephanie Samaniego is a wildlife biologist and orphan animal coordinator with Fish and Game. She says the department arranged to relocate Chester to the Alaska Zoo in Anchorage. He flew out this afternoon. Samaniego said she isn't sure how Chester arrived in Juneau, but suspects he was probably barged in on accident inside a shipping container. She says invasive species can have detrimental impacts on the native environments they inhabit, so it was crucial to find Chester a new and more appropriate destination. And she says this isn't the state's first possum rodeo.
They can bring in diseases that native species haven't been exposed to. They can create competition for resources, and they can even use native species as prey. But knowing that we had dealt with, you know, an opossum in the past, we knew our way forward, I guess you could say.
Chester's arrival mirrors a similar story of another opossum that hitchhiked to Homer in a shipping container from Washington in 2023. That female opossum, named Grubby, quickly became a social media icon after evading capture and remaining on the lam from officials for weeks. She was eventually taken into custody by the Homer Police Department, but not before first biting an officer in the hand. She became a resident at the Alaska Zoo and lived there until her death from old age last fall. Travis says he wishes Juneau's opossum well and hopes his name is still Chester. The University of Alaska Southeast and the Central Council of the Tlingit Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska are working together to create a School of Indigenous Studies. The partnership, formalized on Friday, is one of the first of its kind in the state, and leaders say it's a way to strengthen and uplift Indigenous studies in higher education. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
That's the sound of two pens making history. Tlingit and Haida President Chakyish Richard Peterson and UAS Chancellor Aparna Palmer signed a memorandum of understanding to create a School of Indigenous Studies. The signing took place at the Andrew Hope Building in Juneau during the second day of Tlingit and Haida's March Executive Council meeting. The tribe already has its own programs in early childhood and K-12 education. President Peterson called this a historic moment to partner with the university.
There's leadership at the UA system that we can feel like we can lock arms with finally and really uplift Indigenous studies at all levels with our own Indigenous educators. And we want to see our people who so richly deserve those degrees get degrees.
The agreement commits both parties to work together to create a vision of what a school of Indigenous studies looks like. Officially establishing a school will require approval from both the tribe and the Board of Regents, and there's currently no timeline of when that will happen. In an interview after the signing, Chancellor Palmer said in addition to continuing to shape education with Indigenous values and addressing workforce needs, the partnership can work toward healing through education.
I think giving people opportunities, giving them a way to fulfill who they are as human beings, giving them that sense of identity and pride in who they are, those are all things that are so important to your health as a human being.
UAS would not be the first UA campus with a school or college of Indigenous Studies. The University of Alaska Fairbanks has a college of Indigenous Studies. Palmer says this new effort is unique in that the university will partner with a specific tribe to develop a roadmap together. While this particular partnership was about 4 years in the making, UAS Alaska Native Language Professor Hune Lance Twitchell says the idea to create a tribal university goes back decades. The proposed school is not a tribal university, but Twitchell says he envisions creating a school that covers Indigenous language, art, science, and governance. He says education is the path forward to bring back Indigenous languages that boarding schools once sought to eliminate.
When we look at what the intention of education was for Indigenous peoples, it was to destroy us. It was to destroy our languages. It was to make us be servants of the population. And I think now we look at education as a way to bring us back to strength.
The proposal comes more than a year after the University of Alaska Board of Regents directed university leadership to remove language around diversity, equity, and inclusion from campus websites and communications. That was in response to a letter from the Trump administration that threatened to withhold federal funds from universities and DEI programs nationwide. That directive remains even after a federal court struck down the policy. Peterson says he's personally a great fan of DEI, but he initially had concerns that their initiative might fall under its umbrella. He says this program should not be affected because they are acting as a government entity.
We are a recognized form of government. And so Aparna assured me that we were, because of our government status, that we were going to work together in that capacity, because I didn't want to start something also we are so close to and then have it be lumped as DEI when it is not.
The memorandum says that it can be supplemented with future agreements to support projects for developing the school. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Earlier this year, Robin DeAlva made a Facebook group that she says addresses a specific issue in Juneau, the challenge of finding and offloading arts and craft supplies in the wake of Juneau's Joanne store closing last year. The group is called Juneau Arts Supply and Exchange and has nearly 300 members. The idea to start the group came from her search for a very specific crafting item, beeswax.
My name is Robin DeAlva, and I created this group as the, I guess, admin. I'm not an avid social media person, per se, so I'm new at this, and the group's grown pretty fast. So my art supplies, I shipped all up here from Seattle. I had a career as an artist in Seattle, but they were in storage for over a decade. And it was just a year and a half ago that I unearthed everything and found a studio space. Currently, you know, I just am trying to unravel what kind of artist I was then and who I am now. And, you know, everything that's changed along the way. And looking at all of this art supply that I have was kind of overwhelming. So I do encaustic art, and I have a lot in the past. Encaustic, it's use beeswax in a molten form, and you tint it with pigments, and you paint with it while it's hot. It's actually an ancient form of painting, like dating back to the Egyptians, where they would paint portraits on the outside of the sarcophaguses. It's a unique medium, that's for sure. There's something about it. The smell of the beeswax, the mixing of the colors is something that I love to do. And then the layering. So there's, you know, a lot of translucency, but you build layers and dimension, and it can even carve into it. It just has like a world of possibilities. So that's what attracts me to it. What triggered this idea was I'm running out of beeswax. And I thought, I know there's got to be some other encaustic artists in this town. So I reached out on the existing artist groups in town, local artist groups on Facebook, and nobody responded. It's been, you know, like a few years and nobody's responded to my call out. So especially with, you know, the closures of some of our local art supply stores, I thought, well, let me try this out. Let me reach out and see if I can find anybody that way. So that's actually what triggered the whole creation of the group initially. It was really so moving in the beginning. And on the note of other buy-sell trade groups, I posted or shared the group there, and over 2 days, you know, we got like almost 300 members. So it's super exciting. And also I hear all the comments, you know, people joining, and people are really excited. And to see all the variety, the like wide array of what people are doing in town is amazing. There's a lot of metalsmithing going on, anything from jewelry making to armor, you know, that sort of thing. And a lot of costume makers, and then also teachers or people that work with, you know, the elderly and senior groups doing crafting, and, you know, parents just looking for crafts for their kids. And this is just what ifs, or, you know, later down the line, if this could become a possibility, it would be cool to do maybe larger community group gatherings like swaps, or working with other groups like the Makerspace, you know, and maybe even doing some creative events. But obviously that's just like an idea for the future possibility.
That was Robin DeAlva, who started an online craft supply swapping community. She is still in search of beeswax. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 32 degrees. The National Weather Service says we may see some snow flurries overnight, but tomorrow and the rest of the weekend look sunny, with temperatures between the low 20s and low 30s. And the chance of snow returns on Monday. This is KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org, and thank you for tuning in.